speak so slow. Take courage, turn the volume up. It's Labor Radio.
They didn't decide how they can protect the animals or the environment or people more. Instead, they were like, well, how can we protect ourselves? And from that, they developed these protocols where prior to any large storm event, they're actually now locking all animals inside, boarding up the facilities, and bolt locking them with multiple different devices so that nobody can get in and nobody can get out.
You were just listening to Elizabeth Jones, also known as Ethically Elizabeth. She is an animal rights activist, a rescuer, marine biologist, and a conservationist. You can catch this episode of Voices for the Animals on December 27th at 10 a.m. right here on KBOO, or anytime after the 27th on kboo.fm/voicesfortheanimals, also on Google Play and iTunes.
Baby, you understand me now.
Hi, greetings and welcome to Prison Pipeline, airing from the studios of KBOO Portland. I'm your host, Adam Carpinelli. Prison Pipeline presents a unique perspective of the criminal justice system, addressing the root causes of crime and broadening understanding of the institution of incarceration. We are here with Amy Sitars with the Bronze Shoes Installation Project and PDX Sanctuary Movement. How you doing?
I'm doing good, thanks.
Right
thanks
on.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah. Thanks so much for being here. Great to meet you. Have seen a lot of your work over time, and that was, you know, part of the whole idea of trying to link up with you and get you on here and talk about what you do and relating the whole concept of, you know, detention and ICE, again, along with mass incarceration, you know, expanding that analysis. And the other reason too is because what you're doing is also very artistic and has a lot of aesthetic implications, which I think artful activism is always one of the best ways to, you know, kind of get the message out. So I guess starting off, before maybe talking about all these great projects you're doing, maybe just a little bit about yourself, how you got involved with things, you know, version, I guess.
I graduated from PNCA in 2017 with a BFA in photography, but last summer when the Occupy camp showed up at the ICE building and the news started, you know, letting us know about all this family separation at the border, I just started making public art. I've been doing that, and I continue to do that. I also got involved with the immigrant community and learned about Know Your Rights materials and started teaching allies to know their rights, filming ICE, and then, you know, what to do if they're with someone who is in a panic situation with ICE.
Mm-hmm.
And I've just been organizing and making art.
Great. And you've been based in Portland, Oregon, doing that work specifically?
Yeah. I've been in Portland since 1993.
Oh, okay.
So for a while.
Yeah. Holding it down.
Yeah.
So which projects do you want to talk about? Because there are so many.
Well, I know there are so many.
Or maybe we talk about each one a little bit and then.
Yeah. I mean, I want to make sure that this is related to, you know, your show, the topic of your show. I guess, you know, the Bronze Shoes Installation Project is the big one that is ongoing. And that is, I get a bunch of children's shoes from the bins and do a process where, you know, they're painted and enameled, sort of, or resined so that they're hard. And I hang them all over town. They've been all over the nation, down at the border,
mm-hmm.
As a way to, you know, kind of point out what's happening at the border, the separation of families, and the fact that these human beings are precious and we're not going to forget, we can't forget about them. We have to continue to fight. And it's also a way to promise the families that we aren't going to forget, and we're going to keep fighting for their children.
Mm-hmm. How do people learn about the project? What would they look up?
It's on Facebook. There's a Bronze Shoes installation page. I also have a GoFundMe as it's ongoing work, mm-hmm. which is under the same name. I try to keep it updated. Most recently, my friend Kendall went down to Tucson and was able to hang some down there near the No More Deaths like organization mm-hmm. place. So that's their most recent sighting.
Yeah. What's the significance with the bronze shoes, in case anybody misses it? I think I did.
Yeah, it's okay. Back in the turn of the century, families would bronze their baby shoes, like their first pair of baby shoes that they took their first steps in, mm-hmm. in order to preserve this memory, this sort of precious memory. And it was, you know, it'd be a memory that would go on for generations. It was passed down to generations. And so the concept there is that these children are precious and we aren't going to forget about them. And it's, you know, deals with memory and preciousness and little kids.
Mm-hmm. And the project, how does it work exactly? It sounds like a lot of it is you doing some art installations, and then how does that connect to, you know, deciding where you're going to, you know, put these things, mm-hmm. and who else is participating, maybe partner organizations or what have you?
Yeah. Well, I started by installing them across from the ICE building last June, 100 of them. And then after that, I just kind of was like, these need to be everywhere. Like, we need to have this daily reminder. You know, because we go through our days, go shopping, go to school, go to work, and, you know, something's happening, but it's way far away, and mm-hmm. it's not in our front of our mind. And so I just started hanging them all over the city, and then I started sending them to people in other states that asked, and they would hang them there. And then, like, if someone is traveling, I always give them some, or whenever I travel. So basically, it's just kind of like a collaboration with everyone, you know. Just to keep it out there and keep it in people's minds. Mm-hmm. If you want to hang some, please do.
Sure. And, you know, again, this is like resistance work against specifically ICE and mm-hmm. talking about, I'll use the term abolition, abolishing mm-hmm. ICE, if that's mm-hmm. okay.
Oh, yeah.
If we're in agreement on that one.
Of course.
Okay. So then what would you say when you're talking about it and your analysis of ICE and what you've seen? And what needs to change? I mean, there's this community work talking about it and whatnot. And so, for people who, in other words, maybe they're not convinced or they're not even thinking about it. How do you talk about ICE and this whole monster?
Mm-hmm. I say abolish ICE. There's a lot of different kind of work being done. You know, immigration reform. But honestly, you know, ICE was an agency that was put into power by the state, and it can be taken out by the state. It's not necessary. Something that not a lot of people realize is that in the ICE building here in town, the two agencies that reside in it are the HSI and the ERO. Mm-hmm. And the ERO are the enforcement and removal operations, and they're the ones that we see on TV with all these mass raids and, you know, the separations of families and these really high profile stories. So they're the actual agency that's doing this harm to our communities and keeping them in fear. And that to me is not necessary. I mean, the whole ICE was, you know, come about from the post 9/11 panic, and mm-hmm. It's inhumane. It's racist. It can be abolished. You know. I mean, I have a very clear stance on that. It's just abolish ICE, and I mean abolish borders. And
mm-hmm. and as you're working on this, can you talk about some of the different groups? For example, PDX Sanctuary Movement, Portland Sanctuary Movement, and there's a network as well. I don't know if that's different.
It's the PDX Sanctuary Network. Yeah, it's mm-hmm. Just a. An organization of Know Your Rights kind of networks. we teach Know Your Rights Filming ICE, and also have a network of volunteers that go out and hand out Know Your Rights materials, flyers, post them. It's very new, so we're just kind of working out how we can best help the community.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's very, very important. You know, it's number one important for the migrant community to have that information, number one. But I think it's important for allies to know as well, because, you know, we can protect our neighbors from being detained easily if we just know our rights and know their rights.
Mm-hmm. Can we talk a little bit more about that? Because this is probably something a lot of people aren't necessarily aware of, is how they can support their neighbors. And specifically, mm-hmm. we're talking about their undocumented neighbors, mm-hmm. for documented folks,
mm-hmm.
and that whole dynamic. What are some of the major kind of features of doing that?
Mm-hmm. Well, the main one I would say is the warrant. ICE cannot apprehend someone, cannot come into your house, cannot take you off of the street without a warrant signed by a judge, and mm-hmm. they cannot get a warrant signed by a judge. So that would be the first thing you would ask every single time. Do you have a warrant? Do you have a warrant? Show me the warrant.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you have to know the difference between a judicial warrant and the administrative warrant that ICE has that, you know, fakes people out because they're so scared and they don't know, you know, what it should look mm-hmm. like and who it should be signed by. So that's an important thing to find out the difference between. That is the most important. Like for me, like that stops everything right in its tracks right there. Is they don't have that. They don't have that warrant. So, as allies, you know, we need to be able to step in and look at that piece of paper for our friends, you know, and to be able to stand up and say like, no, this is not a warrant, you mm-hmm. know, signed by a judge. Oh my gosh, I just keep forgetting everything.
So that's one. Another would be, you know, talking about Know Your Rights and filming.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you have the right to film ICE officers. You have a right to be on their property and to film them. It's important to remember when you're filming an interaction with ICE to not film the undocumented party.
Mm-hmm.
You know, keep your camera away from faces, but focus on the officer's badge. Badge numbers, street signs, you know, so that it can show the area that you're in, who the officer is. You know, and you have to stay really calm and not interfere with anything, but just document what's happening. Countless numbers of times that has helped people's cases and helped them from being deported mm-hmm. from their families, especially when they catch things like, you know, ICE being in plain clothes or unmarked vehicles or identifying themselves as police. All of those things are really sketchy and, you know, violate human rights.
Mm-hmm. But yet they're doing it all the time.
All the time.
Mm-hmm.
All the time.
Right. So where are the checks and balances for this in the first place? I mean, aside from people doing activist work, I mean, what's going on there, right? I mean, they said they were supposed to be transparent. They're supposed mm-hmm. to be, what I hear you saying, they're supposed to be in some kind of uniform. They're supposed to give due notice
mm-hmm.
and whatnot. I mean, what's part of this? What do you think is part of this whole quagmire here?
Well, they consider themselves a law enforcement agency. So
mm-hmm.
they are above, I mean, they don't have to be held accountable to anyone, really. I mean, mm-hmm. you can't even sue them for violating your constitutional rights.
Mm-hmm.
They say that because they are a law enforcement agency, that gives them the right to use the police insignia, the right to have it on their uniforms. There is an act right now being worked on to remove the word police from their uniforms. In 2017, I think there was a bill introduced that kind of just went nowhere. Asking them to remove the police from their uniforms. And there's another thing in the works, and I'm sorry, I can't remember the name of it, but it started in July. And so, you know, pushing for changes in policies is one way to push back against ICE
mm-hmm.
and kind of change some of those, try to hold them accountable to some of those things. And you can find their handbooks online that says, you know, what they're allowed to do during a ruse. And, you know, they violate even those.
Mm-hmm.
So that's another level of activism, kind of. is pushing for policy change.
Mm-hmm.
Direct action, of course, is another, putting pressure on big companies that profit from ICE, and detention centers, just trying to like choke the stem, you know, the flow of the money.
Mm-hmm. Right. It's all economic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
For folks just tuning in, you are listening to Prison Pipeline, airing from the studios of KBOO Portland, and we're here with Amy Sitars with the Bronze Shoes Installation Project and PDX Sanctuary Movement. And we're talking about ICE detention centers and people on the outside knowing their rights and helping allies and comrades and community members and neighbors from getting picked up from ICE. And part of that entails people knowing their rights and filming ICE and all these checks and balances that are going on. And again, a lot of it is very corporate money driven. And when we talk about the economics behind it and some of these companies, can you talk a little bit about that and maybe either how that's functioning locally and or nationally within that whole scene?
Yeah, I recently was doing a bunch of research on companies that profit from ICE and what's going on locally. And I came across two really interesting companies. One is Deloitte, which is a huge company, and it's all over the world. But in Portland, the global CEO actually lives here and works, you know, out of the Deloitte office.
Oh, wow.
It's in the U.S. Bank Tower. And the other that is really interesting to me is actually, I guess I shouldn't say too much more, but the company itself is called Leupold and Stevens, and it's a weapons manufacturer that headquartered in Beaverton. And they have a blanket agreement with the Border Patrol, and they have just approved their new Mark 5HD high-powered rifle scope to sell. And I mean, it doesn't take much to, you know, why do they need scopes?
Right. What the heck are you gonna do with all that stuff? Yeah.
Yeah.
Fancy gadgets.
It's ridiculous. I mean, it's easier to see the consequences of that money flow when you know exactly what it is that they're buying. You know, mm-hmm. Deloitte, you know, is like a confirming consultant, you know, business, and there's a lot of money going their way, but it's just numbers, you know, in our head. And when you think about, you know, Leupold and Stevens actually selling scopes and guns to the Border Patrol, like, that's to kill people, you know, to make it easier for them to kill people at the border. And so that's an important company to kind of keep your eye on, push back. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, that's interesting. And that's also, how does that work, let's say, with you know, Corrections Corporation of America or, you know, Geo Group, because these are the other ones that people have talked about, and these are some other ones. So are they working in tandem? Are they related? Are they changing names? I mean, as much as you've kind of done some of the research on this stuff?
I mean, I'm sure they're all working together somehow. I mean, that it's, I mean, they're profiting millions and billions of dollars off of the operations of ICE. And so I'm sure that there's, you know, some inside mm-hmm. Collaboration going on for sure.
Yeah, like they're all contractors at the end of the day, right?
Right.
So everybody's just looking for their fat contract, and then they're
exactly.
making money off of everybody's lives here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So on that toll on people's lives of deaths, of people who are being locked up, can you talk about maybe what that might look like, again, either, you know, regionally and or nationally, as far as like numbers of deaths and all these kind of things, or how many people might be locked up at a particular detention center at a given moment?
I mean, there are thousands of people locked up. I don't know exact numbers. I think this year there were 20 children that died in ICE custody, and I think that it's risen already just recently because of the flu deaths.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's basically just, you know, a death camp. You mm-hmm. know, if you're dying in custody of ICE, you're not getting taken care of. You know, there's negligence. So I mean, one is too many. So
right,
you know,
right. Well, I mean, aside from deaths, I mean, that would just be, you know, just the fact of just child neglect in general would be bad enough, right? Yet mm-hmm. having like all these youth who are dying inside of these buildings and stuff.
Yeah, they're being put there because of the color of their skin. You mm-hmm. know, it's not just like, oh, here, there's too many people, you know, in one place. We got to cage them up. It's, we don't want you here because you're brown.
Right, right. So out here in the Pacific Northwest, closest to Portland, Oregon, is our ICE detention center in Tacoma, which is like the regional one. And then, of course, yeah, we do have the one that's like in Portland, but that's kind of...
People, a transfer facility.
Yeah, people are like mm-hmm. transferred and what have you. What kind of connection is there to, I mean, doing this community work and these particular places? I mean, you mentioned that there was, you know, the ICE, the anti-ICE, you know, kind of movement that was happening
mm-hmm.
For some time here in Portland, Oregon, and where have those things panned out? What kind of work are people doing at these places, including the projects that you're working on?
Well, Occupy ICE, I think, has kind of fizzled out as an organization a little bit. I mean, not completely. I think they still do some work organizing in the community. You know, there's various immigrant-led organizations who have been doing work, you know, working towards their liberation for decades. And then, I mean, presently I'm working with the Never Again action group here that's kind of newly formed. Mm-hmm. And we're, you know, I'm working as an ally, but it's basically a group of Jews who are doing what no one did for them and saying, you know, never again is now. Let's shut down ICE.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a diversity of tactics is necessary. And so, you know, of course, theirs are different from all.
Mm-hmm. So Never Again, Bronze Shoes Installation mm-hmm. Project. I always want to say Brown Shoes. Bronze Shoes. And also, we didn't really, I guess, talk too much about PDX Sanctuary Network and movement. Mm-hmm. And how does that connect to all of this as well?
Well, I mean, that's very pointedly directed at educating people with Know Your Rights material, Know Your Rights with ICE materials. Mm-hmm. There's a lot going on, and you know, as an artist, that art, making art is my very first thing. I make social justice art, and I make it in a response to this environment that we're in, and it's kind of an emotion. Mm-hmm. And it's something that I have to do or I will die. While I love organizing and I love teaching people Know Your Rights stuff, sometimes things get kind of overwhelming. And
mm-hmm.
So, you know, the PDX Sanctuary Network is there for resources. And, you know, there will be more workshops coming up. But sometimes it's just hard to juggle all of these things at once. Mm-hmm. And everything feels so urgent. But often, you know, when we act in urgency, we don't have as much impact. And so
right.
I'm just having... you know, a hard time keeping a balance kind of and making sure that I'm making art, but also helping my community as well.
Right. So with the Know Your Rights training, it sounds like there's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of legal information that comes through on that. And, you know, normally people who don't know the law very well kind of shy away from those things. Mm-hmm. However, we know that part, some of the talking points are, you know, a few simple things, right? You know, how do you suggest and how have you been informing people with these trainings as far as like the kind of information that you use? So in other words, if somebody was interested in doing this, mm-hmm. where would they access this information, or if they mm-hmm. just wanted to know what mm-hmm. kind of stuff is getting talked about mm-hmm. at a Know Your Rights training?
Yeah, there's several organizations that you can look up online that offer material. One big one is called Witness. They have some webinars that you can look at, and they actually can teach you how to teach the workshops. The Defense Project, New York Defense Project, I can't remember if I'm saying it exactly right, but they have loads of resources and webinars and videos. You know, basically they're just like, here, take this, use it, share it. Endelon has a ton of resources. All of their Know Your Rights material was created by migrants who have had those situations, have been in those situations that the very, you know, material is needed for. So that's a really good resource for Know Your Rights stuff. Mm-hmm. I mean, the ACLU has it. It's out there. There can be misinformation, though, so you have to be really careful what information is being given, I guess. Some of it can be misleading. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So with your art project, with Bronze Shoes Installation Project, was it something that you just totally came up with originally, and or did it come up in tandem with other, you know, artists or other art projects that like inspired you? Because I'm also kind of curious either way where it's at now and where like the momentum's going, and if you're mm-hmm. meeting other, you know, artists around the country and it's like, yeah, let's, you know, link up and do this or just relate like different projects around this whole issue of ICE detention.
Well, that came out of just me watching the news last summer in 2018, when, you know, you see the babies crying in cages, and I just, you know, broke my heart. And I was kind of paralyzed by that, and I just, like, I needed to do something, and that just kind of came to mind. Like, it was just kind of like I was walking downstairs, mm-hmm. boom, there it is. And so that's how that started. But since then, I've just been, you know, kind of expanding on that or even doing some other kinds of installations. I built a 2-foot square cage out of Cyclone and put a pair of Bronze Shoes in the middle of that, mm-hmm. and I've used that at, put it on the front doorsteps of the ICE building for a while. It's been, you know, at different rallies. And I mean, I did a theater piece last Halloween where we had a funeral for ICE and we buried ICE in Terry Schrunk Plaza.
Moratorium.
Mm-hmm. We had a casket and everything. And I'm working on something new. I don't know how much I want to say about it, though, but it's going to be like...
Drum roll, please.
It's huge, 12 feet tall, something... It's going to be really awesome. It's not directly related to the shoes, but it's going to block some doorways, and I don't know, that's all I could say.
Sounds like it's some very functional art.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah.
As far as, you know, following some of the different projects in the future, do you have other ways people can check out your art projects, or should they go straight to Bronze Shoes Installation Project? Are there other ones?
Well, I'm terrible about, you know, an online presence, but I know Facebook, like, told me I should have another Facebook page that has my same name, mm-hmm. you know? So I have finally figured out that that's, like, a business page. So when I get around to it, I'll start using it as, like, you know, a sort of revolutionary art page and start putting stuff up there.
Cool. So Bronze Shoes Installation Project, you mentioned the PDX Sanctuary movement, and that's connected to a larger national piece, right? No?
Mm-mm.
It's not. Okay. What are some other maybe examples that are either regional or national that you think people should look at as far as inspiration for doing this work or getting involved?
For doing the Know Your Rights stuff?
Sure, yeah, any of it.
Yeah, yeah. There's organizations that have been doing that work forever that you can plug into, like PERC and CAUSA and Emerge. There's a newer nonprofit called Viva. If you get involved with them, they are working on creating neighborhood defense committees, teaching Know Your Rights, and then also creating these networks of people that can show up in case of a home raid or, you know, panic situations, and basically offer resources, safety, protection from ICE.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Great. Well, you've been listening to Prison Pipeline, airing from the studios of KBOO Portland. Listen to this and previous Prison Pipeline programs at kboo.fm/prisonpipeline. Like Prison Pipeline on Facebook. Big thanks to our guest and our engineer, Selena. Free them all.
Abolish ICE.
Right on.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the SJAC Holiday Fundraiser and Open Hours Launch Party on Sunday, December 29th from 6 to 9 p.m. at the Social Justice Action Center in Portland. The Social Justice Action Center provides community space, access to a commercial kitchen, and now new open hours. The launch party will provide information about new programs, opportunities to volunteer, and more. Again, that's the SJAC Holiday Fundraiser and Open Hours Launch Party on Sunday, December 29th at the Social Justice Action Center, 400 Southeast 12th Avenue in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
KBOO is having our annual book and record sale Saturday, December 21st from 12 to 10 p.m. There's a special member-only preview hour from 11 a.m. to 12 p.m. The sale will be located at Jupiter Next in the Arium Ballroom at 900 East Burnside Street. We hope to see y'all there.